You're listening to the Charisma News Podcast, one daily news story well told. I'm your host, Jeff Struss, and today we're interviewing the Vice President of My Faith Votes, Paul Isaacs. Now, My Faith Votes is a nonpartisan nonprofit dedicated to help Christians think and vote biblically. Paul is always an amazing guest to have on the show, and you're not going to want to miss what he has to say right after this.
At Liberty University, we train champions for Christ. We don't just train exceptional CEOs, therapists, and pilots. We train exceptional professionals in hundreds of fields who want to impact the world for Christ. Learn how our students are following God's call and how you can train as a champion for Christ online or on campus. Text Liberty to 49596. Again, that's Liberty to 49596.
This is Jeff Struss on the Charisma News Podcast, and I'm here with the Vice President of My Faith Votes, Paul Isaacs. Paul, welcome back to the podcast.
Great to be with you, Jeff.
It's always great to have you, and I'm looking forward to what you've got to share today. And of course, we wanted to have you back. We spoke just about a week ago regarding this whole issue of election integrity, the recent legislation that's looking to be passed. But I wanted to have you back so that our listeners can stay current on the topics that you think they should know about. So, Paul, I got to know, what's on the top of your mind today?
Well, we're still talking about election integrity, but I want to kind of, you know, dialogue with you, Jeff, about just some presuppositions that we have when it comes to federal government versus state government. And that's a big issue when it comes to election integrity, because right now states have the right under the Constitution to run their own elections. And we want to keep it that way. I think that's the best thing for it.
Mm-hmm.
But there's a presupposition that you and I've discussed before about why everybody is kind of doubting that. And so I'd love to talk about that if you've got some time.
Yeah, let's do it.
There's this idea that the federal government in D.C. and the people that are elected there, that they are like the varsity team, and that the state legislators are like the JV. These are the guys, the also-rans. You know, that perhaps we could look at it like as the United States senators and the U.S. congressmen, they're like Major League Baseball.
Yeah.
And that the state legislators and state senators, those guys are the single-A farm team. They really couldn't make the big leagues. So they're not as smart, and they don't understand how to run things. So, we really should defer to the federal government when it comes to just about everything.
Yeah.
And maybe even this idea of elections. And I want us to kind of really check that mentality and say that the framers of the Constitution, they were extremely, I would almost say they were a savant. They were genius. They knew that a centralized, all-powerful federal government was a dangerous thing, and it also was very inefficient. So they had this idea of federalism, that the states really should kind of control their own destiny in a lot of ways. And this election thing is very, very important in that, and how we do our elections in the United States.
You know, what you're talking about right now, you're talking about the presupposition. So these are the things that we hold to be true before we even begin speaking intelligently about current events, proposed legislation, and so on. These are important topics. And, you know, as you're talking, I'm thinking, my goodness, it's so important. And even if we don't get to hit on what you think are some proposed solutions on these topics today, or even scratch the surface of it. But I'm hearing today, Paul, how important it is. It goes along with that mission statement with My Faith Votes. We really do need to be, as Christians in America, we need to think. We need to worship God with our mind. We've got to think well about these things. And unfortunately, Paul, it seems like, right, it seems like our culture, it pulls us towards unthinking participants. We're just like getting pulled down the stream. Don't you worry. Don't think too deeply about anything, because, like you said, those at the top know best. That's what's, I mean, that's kind of like lighting up on my mind as you're talking here in your opening volley.
Yeah, I think you're exactly right. I think there's this tendency throughout history, and I've written about it a little bit, and I've seen other writers write about it, that we tend to go through a cycle. And that cycle always, because we're flawed human beings in need of a savior, we always cycle toward sin, and that there's something in us innately, I think, that is made in the image of God that yearns for freedom, and sin always leads to slavery. And God said in his word, stand fast in the liberty where Christ has made you free. And so if I could even just speak to that, just to this mentality of we find ourselves a lot in history. You can see a group of people or a nation as it rises, as you study history, find itself in bondage, or a group of people that are in bondage. And then there's this opposition to that that rallies these people to a common cause. And it's usually spiritual. And then there's courage, and it's a fight for freedom. And then they enjoy the liberty and the success, the formation of a codified freedom and a promise of opportunity. And right now, as our listeners are listening, and as you're listening, you're probably saying, you're checking the boxes. Yes, that was us. That was us in the 1700s. That was us. You know, we went through the Great Awakenings, and those Great Awakenings led to amazing freedom that we experience today. And then what we have, Jeff, is we have this abundance. We experience abundance, and we see it in the 20th century, where we won two world wars, and we had the suburbia, and we had people getting jobs, and really we had this golden age. And then we can kind of move towards selfishness or greed, that we kind of look after our own interests, and we kind of move toward complacency, and then an apathy, and then a dependency that leads us back into bondage. And I think that sometimes this idea that the federal government is there to solve all these problems is part of that kind of like waning toward dependency. And I want us to be, as Christians, to think and not to fall into that that mentality. Are you with me on that?
Well, I am with you, and I don't want to ruffle any feathers, but the other word that's coming to my mind is there can be a laziness where,
yes,
where there's a, you know, our life is very clear in the New Testament. It's a gift. Jesus has called us to have abundant life, but we also know that we'll give an account for the life that we live. Now, when something is given and is going to be required an accounting for, biblically, that's a stewardship. And so we're stewarding our lives before the Lord. And so we have a responsibility before the Lord to steward our experience, our relationships, you know, our leadership, whether that's in our workplace, at home, with our children, with our, you know, maybe a small group at our local church. But here's this other side of it, which is in our nation, we have certain rights and privileges. Now, when we have certain rights and privileges, that we are now going to require to give an account for how we use those rights and privileges. So again, when I'm hearing you, Paul, talk, I'm thinking, man, this is a big deal, because we cannot just give in to the temptation to go, well, I'll let somebody else think about. I'll let the people in Washington think about that. You know, I'll let that political leader think about that. What I'm hearing from you is, no, biblically, we have to be thinking about this, and we have to be thinking about it from God's point of view.
We do. And you know, we have the opportunity that we can be involved as Christians in a system of government that allows us to have a voice. Whereas, you know, in Jesus' time, he was speaking to a group of people who were under a dictatorship, different time, different circumstances. And we have this opportunity to speak to these bills, to vote, to contact our legislative officials, to work toward change, to run for office. And I think a couple of days ago was National Patriots Day, and I'm reminded of the shot heard around the world that hopefully our children are learning about. Is it Lexington and Concord, and there were some British troops that were running, or they were moving toward taking over a garrison of arms of the the colonists and the, you know, the people that Americans that they would later become Americans, but they were British. They're our cousins. These people engaged in a violence, and I'm not advocating for that. I'm just saying they engaged in a violence and a willingness to die for freedom. We have the ability to address government right now because of their sacrifice. They thought it was such a big deal that they were willing to lay down their life. And all throughout our history, our short history of 250 some years, we've had the opportunity to address our government, to run, to elect officials, to work, you know, toward change and fight for justice. And I want, and the assumption is to our kids who've never, and for even us, you and I, Jeff, is that it will always be this way. We will always have this freedom, kind of like a fish in water doesn't know it's wet. That is not true. We have to preserve this liberty, and Lord willing, we can do it through this wonderful system that our founders created.
Well, it's certainly not a given, and all you have to do is just visit a few nations around the world. Pick a few nations on any continent you want, and you're going to find a society and a nation. They know nothing about our freedoms of speech, our freedoms of assembly, you know, our freedom of religion. And, you know, many, many, many nations, it's not the norm. It is not the norm. Okay, bringing it all back here. We started off talking about right now there is a push for a consolidation. Essentially, this is a consolidation of power. Again, rights and privileges will be taken away from state and local governments and consolidated into Washington, D.C. And you're starting off this conversation today with the premise that saying, listen, just because you live within the District of Columbia does not mean you have a higher IQ than somebody that's in your state or your local city. So let's hit on this and bring it back to how we started.
Right, exactly. So for instance, like just some of the things, and I could take you to lines and source these things in the actual bill, but let's just take it one of those, a couple of those.
And Paul, for those of us, for those that missed our last conversation, what bill specifically are you talking about?
This is Senate Bill 1 and House Bill 1. That is a it's called For the People Act, and I would say that's well written, but so is a lot of propaganda. And he who can, I don't even want to start with that premise being true. This is not for the people. This is for the establishment. And so it's very important that we protect this. So let's look at a couple of things just specifically. On page 47 of this bill, line 15, it advocates for automatically registering ineligible voters. A lot of that is happens at a DMV, you know, in, I believe it is 16 different states. Just for instance, in Colorado, where I live, in New Mexico, in California, Oregon, a number of other states, someone who's not a citizen, who is here illegally, can still get a driver's license. And the way that this bill is written is that people who have a driver's license and that go through that process, they automatically get registered to vote. Well, wait a minute. Only citizens of the United States should be able to vote for candidates in elections. I mean, I think we should say that, right?
Well, I've never been invited to vote for another country's elections. I don't know why America would extend that invitation to others.
It just doesn't make even logical sense. We want it to be easy for every American citizen to vote, but extremely, we talked about this last week too, but hard to cheat. We want to make it hard to cheat. And that's why, again, you and I talked last week, I think we talked about the voter ID laws and same-day registration. Same-day registration, when a person can walk up to a poll and say, I'm going to register and I'm going to go from this registration right to vote, there's no time to see if they voted somewhere else. There's no time to see if they turned an absentee ballot. There's no time. They could all day take the day off work conceivably. And you say, well, who would do that? Well, listen, the heart is deceitful above all things and desperately wicked. Who can know it? I'm talking about all of us. So if I were wanting to cheat, I could make that happen with same day registration. It would be very easy to cheat. I want to make it easy to vote, hard to cheat. See what I'm saying? So if I do a same day registration, I can go to one polling place, register, vote, get in my car, go to another place to vote, do the same process, and there's no ability to verify that in real time. That's why we can't, we need to stay away from same day voter registration.
And again, the point is, it needs to be easy to vote. It needs to be hard to cheat. People that want to cheat, people that do not have a moral conviction against cheating. That's what the laws are for, to ensure that crookedness and all the type of scheming is out of our system. Because when illegal voting takes place, everybody's vote suffers. We want to have a system where every American citizen can have their voice heard through this gift. It is a gift of being able to participate in the electoral process. So, Paul, as we are nearing the end of our conversation today, what are the key takeaways here for our listening audience, and what are the action points? You know, if someone, I'm hoping and I'm praying every listener, you're going to text this link, you're going to download the episode, you're going to share this with your friends, because we need the body of Christ in America to think and vote biblically. Many that are listening today, you're right, grieved as you're wondering about what your kids are growing up, what your grandkids or your are going to have to face because of these different legislative topics that are being passed, even with the LGBTQ and the persecution that's coming to the church right now. My goodness, what a simple way to share this broadcast, mm-hmm, to get people, mm-hmm, thinking biblically. But Paul, what are the key points that you're wanting our listeners to come away from today's conversation?
So at My Faith Votes, the organization that I represent, we use these words: think, pray, or pray, think, and vote. We want to pray first. So pray, think, vote. We need to pray for our country first. We need to pray for about 5 to 7 senators. I'm going to mention a few of their names right now that are currently opposing the ending of the filibuster. If the filibuster gets abolished, any party that's in power can ram through whatever they want to ram through. And that's not good for Republicans or Democrats. Okay, so I want you to pray for these people. Pray for Joe Manchin of West Virginia, John Tester of Montana, Kyrsten Sinema of Arizona. Believe it or not, Dianne Feinstein is on the fence about ending the filibuster. And let us pray for her and Tom Carper of Delaware and Patty Murray of Washington. These names that if you need to hit rewind and go listen to them again, but
yep,
pray for these people because they're under tremendous pressure to end a filibuster that could help kind of stop this bill from going forward into law. And then that's pray. Think is so important that we like, really, we talked about the presuppositions. Think about what it is that's at stake here. And the things that we're talking about are not partisan. It's not like Republicans should be for this bill or Democrats should be for this bill. This is for America. We need to have election integrity. Whether we win or lose elections, we want to be able to trust that process. And then act. I would say go to myfaithvotes.org. And find out ways. There's an act section that is in between times where we are able to vote, that things you can do, and you'll see a drop down menu of things. And we would love for you to join us in our efforts to even rise above partisan politics, but to bring our faith into this political sphere. And we need to speak the truth in love as well. So I want to say, as we're talking about these things with our neighbors and our friends, especially neighbors in the household of faith and ones that don't know the Lord, that we speak the truth in love, that we're not angry and fighting, but that we're actually speaking the truth in love and not afraid to speak but speak it in love. Does that make sense?
No, it's perfect. And it's a great way to end our conversation for today, that for every listener, every individual out there today, your highest allegiance is to Jesus Christ, is to the kingdom of God. Each of us, Scripture is very clear, we will stand before the Lord. And nobody's going to be with us. Our favorite political candidate won't be standing with us. Paul won't be standing. It will all stand before the Lord by ourselves. We'll give an account for how we operated, what we did with what God gave us. And our prayer is that this generation, we would respond to the Word of God and to the leading of His Holy Spirit. We would engage with culture and we would make a difference. And so it's a wonderful way that just to land it. And for those of you that just tuned in, we've been talking to Paul Isaacs. He's the vice president of My Faith Votes. And the website, one more time, Paul?
MyFaithVotes.org.
Awesome. You can get great resources. Keep up to date. But we're planning on having Paul back on a regular basis. If it works for Paul, we love these discussions. We think they're important, impactful. And we're just so glad that you were on the broadcast today, Paul.
Thank you for having me. Jeff, keep doing what you're doing.
Hey, our pleasure. God bless. You've been listening to the Charisma News Podcast on the Charisma Podcast Network. Make sure to subscribe so that you never miss an episode. God bless.